It's time to get your checking account to zero with free checking from PenFed. That's zero ATM fees, zero balance requirements, and zero time spent waiting for your paycheck to direct deposit because you can receive it up to 2 days early. Open your account with just $25 and see how big zero can be. Apply online today at PenFed.org/free checking. Early direct deposit eligibility may vary between pay periods and timing of payer's funding. To receive any advertised product, you must become a member of PenFed, insured by NCUA.
MGP 406. I'm Kevin, with me as ever, the sheepdog Anna and Pab. Say hello, boys and girls.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
Is there anyone else there? Is it just me and sheepdog?
Hello.
What happened there?
Hello.
Did you say hello before?
Yes.
Hello. Oh, this is going to be that thing again where you're so quiet, Discord doesn't pick up, but the listeners are hearing
hello,
you say
hello.
It, so we look like idiots. Love it when this happens. Get closer to your microphone, Anna. Discord cuts you out.
I can't get any closer. I'll be inside it.
See, it cut out brilliantly there. All we heard was, inside it!
I said, I can't get any closer because I'll be inside it.
Well, whatever you've just done, huge improvement.
Yeah. Did you put it in front of you, like, pre-show when you
I had my mouth open.
Yeah, do that.
Talk
with your mouth open.
Pre-show, Anna was just yelling.
Anna was just yelling down a microphone, I can't hear you, I can't hear you. And then we heard, I haven't got my headphones on.
Yep.
I'm a little tired.
It's going to be one of those shows, boys and girls. I've already messed up the intro as well, because it was supposed to be episode 406, subtitle, The Game of the Year Show, one of three consecutive podcast specials, because everybody knows there's no gaming content at this time of year, so we shoehorn regular stuff in, so we still get the opportunity to talk to you every week. So we've got the Game of the Year Show this week, next week, we're going to have the traditional Google Zeitgeist Review of the Year show. The week after that, we're going to do Game of the Generation, because there's a gaming generation that's just finished, and I don't think we've done Game of the Generation yet. I think we did Game of the Decade last year.
That's right.
When we were clutching at straws at this time of year. So now we get to do Game of the Generation. And next year, we'll figure something else out to fill these gaps. And as ever as well, just a little warning to put out at the start of the festive period. You've already noticed it with this episode, I'm sure. At this time of year, podcasts come out when we release them. They're not necessarily the normal Saturday morning 10 o'clock slot, because we get together when we can get together. People have stuff going on at this time of year. So the Zeitgeist show will be late as well. And then the one after that will be when the one after that is. And then we'll be back to normal sometime in early January. And everyone will be happy. Apart from Sheepdog, because he's never happy. Nothing ever pleases that man.
I've got high standards. I'm a very different. I'm like the, what's his name? Craig Revel, Mr. Man. The bloke who invented Revels, who's on Strictly. Man. He gives everything a lower
score. What on earth are you talking
the
about?
The Revel Man. What's his name? The angry one
on
Strictly.
Do you think there's any crossover between our listener base and people who watch Strictly?
Well, they're probably all doing what I'm doing. I'm sat upstairs because it's on, downstairs where it was on. But, you know, you must know enough about these shows. There's always a sign
of cow. I've never seen Strictly.
It's ridiculous. It's stupid. Because every time someone does an amazing dance that I couldn't do if I tried, even though I've got a B in GCSE dance. And
so it's beyond GCSE level.
It's beyond
level stuff,
GCSE level, yes. And okay. They'll finish and they'll be standing there. They'll have flipped in the air and then landed on one foot and it will just stop. And he'll just go, I'll give that a 4. And then the other two people next to him will go, 10, 10. And everyone will clap. And no one ever gets a perfect score unless he's just been given whatever upper he's got to be given to make him like people. But I model my reviews and my entire approach to life on his grumpiness.
Yeah, I can't hear you talk anymore about dance after those cowards Midlife Gamer refused to do the dance off with us. You know I'm retired from dance until they stop being cowards.
Yeah, well,
that's it. I'm calling them out again every year. We call them out. you know, they must be close to drawing their pensions now. They can come over and they'll have all that free time to come and do a dance off with us. It'll be lovely. Cowards. Look, do they even still exist? No one knows.
I know for a fact that at least one of them listens to this show.
I know. We had a message off one of them mentioning Dave by name. And it's like, okay, not only do you listen to the show, you're very aware of the canine member of my family. How you doing? Why have you never danced us? You coward.
I believe that
there you go.
Oh, God, what's his name? Matt? Is that his name?
Yes.
Yeah.
I've forgotten because a lot of the people on Twitter now that I talk to on a regular basis that I would consider internet friends, at least, are from so many different places that I can't remember whether they'd be from random podcasts at this point. So I probably talk to them on a regular basis on Twitter or here and there, and I wouldn't remember that that's where I know them from. It's weird, isn't it?
It's a very strange life you lead, Sheepdog. You're an unusual man.
Mm.
How are we all on this fine week, anyway? Have we all had an exciting run-up to Christmas?
Yes. Yeah.
I can't talk about my stuff, but yes.
Yeah, Anna's had a fun week. Pab, actually, I need to ask you something as a representative of the North.
Yes, okay.
Because you know how sometimes you hear something for the first time, and then because it's in your head, you keep noticing it, even though up until then you'd never heard it before and you didn't think it existed?
Okay.
Well, I've had that this last week or so because someone sent me a beautiful graphic on Twitter showing the North-South divide based on certain things like how you pronounce certain words, what you have on your chips, and one of the criteria is what you call the last Friday before Christmas. And there was a line across the country, and above this line, apparently they call it something other than Friday.
It's Friday.
Which baffles me, because to everyone in the normal part of the world, the last Friday before Christmas is just Friday. It doesn't have a name.
I saw this.
Pab, what's the last Friday before Christmas
You've had me panicking, thinking, is that a thing? Because I would call it Friday. I wouldn't have a name for it.
Apparently it's called Mad Friday.
Since when?
Forever, apparently, in the North. Apparently, it's been known as Black Friday, because that's what the ambulance folk up there call it. It's been known as Black Eye Friday because of all the fights you get in the pubs. It's Mad Friday because that's when you go out and get hammered in the pubs. But it was trending on Twitter yesterday. And all these people saying, oh, I can't believe it's Mad Friday and I can't go out. And up until this North-South divide thing, I had never heard of anybody describe it as Mad Friday before. But apparently, to all the northern listeners, tweet at RB6K and let us know what you call it. Is Mad Friday a thing, or is there some kind of elaborate internet plot just to confuse me and make me think something is real that's not?
We all got,
because I think that's what's happening. Yeah. It's just a hoax on me. What you're all trying to get me to do is I'll be there next time I'm gadding about on the telly, I'll mention Mad Friday and everyone will be like, you what? What is Mad Friday? You just made something up there, you moron. And you're just trying to make me look an idiot in front of loads of people, aren't you? That's what's happening.
It's not hard to make you look like an idiot in front of loads of people, though, is it?
Yeah, there is far too much effort has gone into this if that is what's happened. But so you've never heard it be called Mad Friday, Pat?
No. Definitely not.
Interesting. So you're Southern then. That's interesting.
Just like where they closed all the mines before Christmas and stuff like that, like a long time ago. And not that I'm saying that's all the North did was mine, but all those sorts of industries, did they just stop?
Well, Anna, Nottingham was a big mining place, wasn't it? And you don't know it as Mad Friday.
I've never.
Can't be anything to do. It's nothing to do with mines, Sheepdog.
Damn it! That was my zeitgeist answer is going to be mining constantly.
Yeah, but yeah, I don't know. If let us know on Sheepdog's Twitter, and we'll put a pin in this and come back to it in February when it's no longer relevant, and then we'll all start making plans now for Mad Friday next year. People are weird.
People are so weird.
Does anyone have any exciting tall tales to tell, or should we jump into this game of the year stuff? Should I explain the rules?
It is handy we didn't record yesterday, because I know Anna was worried as well, weirdly. I texted you saying I was worried that I thought I might have COVID or something. It turns out I got tricked, I think, almost. This could have been an elaborate ruse to try and shut me down or get me off the podcast. Who knows? But my wife cooked us a lovely meal. I say it was a lovely meal. I sat down to eat it. She sat down to eat it. I started eating it and thought it was all right. And she started eating it and goes, this sauce is amazing. And I had a bit and I thought, it doesn't really taste of anything to me. And she kept talking about how amazing this sauce was. And I kept trying it and thinking, nope, doesn't really taste of anything. I'm dipping my tofu in it. It doesn't taste of anything, really. And I started panicking because I was feeling exhausted. I've had a really long week. I've been working till late every day. It's just been hard and I've done lots. And so I was knackered. And I'm sat there and I'm thinking, this is ridiculous. I'm texting you going, I don't feel very well. You know, you want to start late. I'm going to have a kip, all of this. And then I finished my meal. And then I half an hour of panicking and thinking, I don't feel right at all. I went and got a drink that I thought the water tastes, you know, water just from a tap tastes quite strong. And I tried a drink of something. I thought, well, everything else I can taste. But so I tried some more of this sauce. I just thought, this sauce is just disgustingly watery. It doesn't taste of anything. And it turns out, I don't know what my wife thinks it tastes of, but it doesn't taste of anything. And she had me convinced for a good hour that I had COVID because I was a bit tired and I coughed like once in an hour. But it sent me on such an anxiety attack of worrying. I felt like my chest was tightening. I felt like I just couldn't relax. And then once I started tasting things again, I felt fine. I just went for a walk, felt brilliant, and no symptoms at all, and I'm not eating that weird, stupid red sauce again because it just convinces me I'm sick. But if we'd have been recording
poison
yesterday,
sauce, as we'll call it,
yeah, if we'd have been recording yesterday, I'd have been really het up from thinking I was about to die at any moment. But over the course of the evening, I realised I was absolutely fine, and I've got an overreaction.
I don't think that's how people die from COVID anyway, Sheepdog. I don't think they just drop dead midway through a podcast. Well, I've not heard of that happening.
You know when you try and think, I'm going to jinx everyone here, but when you think about breathing and then you can't stop thinking about breathing, and every time you try and just breathe naturally, you stop breathing. That's what I had.
No.
Has that happened to either of the other users who are a bit more normal than Kev?
Nope.
You've never thought about breathing in and out so much that then you can't naturally do it again. That's never happened to you.
No.
Oh,
okay. Well, I had that for ages yesterday. It was freaking me out. And I couldn't just go back to natural breathing. And every time I tried, when I said to you I was going to go and have a lie down, I couldn't sleep because every time I started drifting off, I stopped breathing.
What?
It was ludicrous.
You are a very unusual human being, Sheepdog.
That is a normal thing.
No, I'm pretty sure it's not.
You'll hear it everywhere now.
Well, that's only because it's Mad Friday.
That was yesterday, wasn't it?
Who knows when we're recording?
Yeah,
we don't like
this.
Yeah, we're not letting people behind that curtain. This was recorded in February. We're just speculating that there might be a coronavirus this year. We're excellent soothsayers. Right. It is the Game of the Year show. So for those of you who've not been around for a Game of the Year show in the past, just a brief rundown of the rules as a reminder, both for the listeners and for Sheepdog, who's no doubt forgotten them and done everything wrong and will now argue that his way is right. So what we do is we each shortlist five games, our five favourite games of the year. And then if we then get that narrowed down to a final shortlist of like usually four that we can get on a Twitter poll, by process of discussion and negotiation, it's not necessarily a vote, although often voting does come into it. But we will basically start with our shortlist of however long it is, depending on how many different varieties we have between the four of us. We'll get it down to a four. We'll then fight it out for our four and declare a winner here. We'll put the four up on Twitter as well for a vote. You lot will come up with your winner. Ours will still be the winner. Yours will be wrong unless it agrees with us. But we'll let you have your say. But our say is final on this. We'll decide what the game of the year is because we've got a podcast and you haven't, unless you're that midlife gamer guy, in which case do your own show about the game of the year, you rascal.
Wow.
So who wants to kick us off with their Sheepdog's probably not got his five, has he? Sheepdog will have seven, and three of them would have been released 2 years ago.
I've got six, and one of them was released 2 years ago.
Here we go, course.
Yeah, no, I'm sat here worrying that my battery's on 11%, and I've put on battery save. I've been panicking about this since we sat down to record. There is a wire somewhere, but I didn't want to get under the table. But no, I don't have
a battery
to go first.
For what? You've got a battery on your list.
On my phone. I text myself the list. Do you not text yourself things you need to remember? It's just the easiest way.
Oh, I use Evernote, so it syncs across all my devices.
Yeah, well, my texts sync across all my devices.
Not a sponsor, currently.
Hands on a piece of paper.
Mm. Yeah, see, pubs in the north, they don't have phones up there yet.
If I text myself, it's on my laptop, my iPad and my phone. And if I had a watch, it'd be on my watch as well. But I don't have one.
Because you hate knowing what the time is.
I do. I know what the time is intrinsically. You know that. It feels like
what's the time right now, sheepdog?
59 past eight.
You're looking at the clock.
I was literally looking at my list and there's a clock above it.
Listeners, let us know at RB6K whether Sheepdog got the time right. Right, Sheepdog, while you're there, while you've got your list, I'm concerned about your battery level. Tell us what your five was. I assume you're collating this list, Pab, with your pencil and paper that you've got.
Have I got to
get mine out? No, it's all right. If you don't want to, I've got an old envelope in front of
me.
I'll do it.
As is tradition, I always start with the ones that were illegal and I weren't allowed to vote for. And it was only one this year. I wanted to vote. To be fair, there's two I wanted to vote for, so I did have seven.
Brilliant.
But you wouldn't let me vote for either of them because
they weren't out this year.
I feel like Among Us is worth mentioning because it wasn't big before this year. It was a no mark little game that no one had heard of before this year, and would have been a worthy winner of at least if we had a mobile category or something like that, which we don't. And it did win a lot of awards this year, so it's a shame that doesn't get recognised.
Because the Video Game Awards made up a category just to fit it into.
Yeah. The other one for me personally, because I spent way too much time playing it and it was one of the first games I thought of, and then when I found out it'd been on PC absolutely forever, which I knew it had been out on PC but I didn't know how long, was Two Point Hospital, because I love it and it was great on the Xbox. I spent a lot of the pandemic playing that, which thinking about it now seems a bit wrong when we're all worried about health and everything. So they didn't count. You don't have to write them down.
Don't worry, I haven't.
Obvious ones for me that came to mind were Last of Us 2, because obviously it's probably going to win or at least be a finalist. It was an absolutely brilliant game.
The homophobes are going to hate this, Sheepdog. You can't say it's obviously going to win. Poor old homophobes.
Yeah, whoever thinks of them. But yeah, that is obviously the strongest game that came out. There are a couple that I could see running it close that I haven't played, like the Samurai one, but I haven't played it, so meh. I know I've kind of been back and forth on this one all year, saying I love it, I don't like it, I'm frustrated with it, I like it again, and this, that, and the other. But it'd be mad of me not to put the Final Fantasy VII Remake on because of how epic it is. Every time I get to a certain bit that I don't like, I'm a bit like, no, I'm not playing it anymore then. And then I go back to it and I love it for ages. And then I go back and I get to a bit and I'm like, oh, this isn't how I want it to be. But overall, seeing that game be turned into such a beautiful, amazing cinematic game that's so big is impressive. And that is worthy of being on the list. I spent a lot of time playing Minecraft Dungeons with my son during lockdown. Absolutely loved that. I basically asked him what he thought his game of the year was because I couldn't remember the year. And he just sort of said to me, that was brilliant. And I thought, he's right. We spent so much time playing that. And it was great. Where am I? Oh, yeah. Fall Guys. When that came out, I played that a lot with my daughter. And we really enjoyed that. And that was a great game until Among Us kind of stole its throne. And lastly, even though this is a bit... I'm only voting this because I know it's going to be in the top three anyway. I own it and I've played it, but I don't really feel it as much as Pab will. But I respect it. Animal Crossing needs to be in there because the year is probably defined by that, really, actually. That's probably more of a contender than Last of Us.
Interesting.
Yeah.
That does match up quite closely with my list in some places, which is a little bit worrying. As such, I'm going to jump straight into my list now. I'm going to do mine because I've got two. I had an honorary mention for Fall Guys, and that was going to be my sixth. You know, if I have to squeeze it in, Fall Guys would be my sixth because that week when it was cool,
yeah,
I enjoyed it. And then when we realised there was only about a week's worth of gameplay in it and we all stopped, it kind of fell lower and lower down the list as the year went on from there. But I kind of agree that There's kind of two different ways of interpreting the question this year, and that depends which one I put top of my list. If we're talking about what was the best game released in 2020, then the correct answer is The Last of Us 2. If we're talking about what was the game of the year 2020, the correct answer is Animal Crossing, because it hit at just the right moment as the pandemic was starting, as everyone was going into lockdown, and everybody had Animal Crossing. Stephen Fry was tweeting about playing Animal Crossing. People went out and bought Switches just for Animal Crossing. People I've never known to play video games before were playing Animal Crossing obsessively. It just took over the world for like a month. And it also coincided with when me and Anna were sick, and we both basically spent a week in bed feeling sorry for ourselves. And I must have played 8 hours a day of Animal Crossing during that time. It got me through my suspected COVID time. And it was fantastic. And then I finished it and stopped and haven't been back to it since. The last day I played it was the first fishing event, I think. And it was like, well, I've done everything I can do now. I don't care if they add anything more to it. It should have been in here from the start. It's dead to me and I've never gone back. But for that month or so, Animal Crossing was fantastic. Football Manager 2021 has to be on there. It's the best Football Manager they've ever made. The match engine has finally had the update that people have been asking for years. And it is just fun to play. And it's not always as fun to play as it's been this year. But I had to go back to FM20 for a game for something I was working on the other day. And it felt like I was going back 5 versions of the game. It was so clunky. So, this match engine's hideous. I couldn't get off FM20 fast enough. And bearing in mind, I spent over 1,200 hours this year playing FM20. And now couldn't stand it because of how much better FM21 was. FM21's got to go on the list. I was almost tempted to add FIFA 21 to the list as well for similar reasons. It's the most fun I've had with FIFA for years. But in the end, it couldn't make the cut because I suddenly remembered that Crusader Kings 3 came out this year and was superb. I still never successfully got beyond like 3 or 4 generations deep. I lose every time I play it, but I've never had so much fun losing a game and not really understanding what was going on. And I think if Crusader Kings had come out 2 or 3 months earlier in the year, when we were still deep in lockdown, I think it would have got a lot more time out of me. But it kind of came out at a point when things were starting to loosen off a little bit and we were all just, you got to get outside. You got to go and do something. And I didn't spend as much time sitting at my computer as I had done earlier in the year. And it kind of lost out a little bit on that because I've never gone back to it because then Football Manager and other stuff like that came out. But Crusader Kings was fantastic. And it's one of those games like Civilization that I see myself going back to. I'll have a, you know what, I fancy having a go on Crusader Kings and then I'll play it obsessively for a couple of weeks again, probably over Christmas. It's the sort of thing I'm likely to do over the Christmas period because Cyberpunk was supposed to be in that role. Obviously, it's not going to be. So Crusader Kings, I might be going back to. And then the last one.
Let me interrupt, but I thought about that because I did enjoy playing it, but I sucked so badly at it.
That's the point.
It needed an easier mode so I could feel like, I like playing Civilization to get stuck in and play it for, you know, 100 hours or whatever and end up being absolutely on some ridiculously long campaign. Whereas this, it was like, oh, I've already lost. I'm like 2 generations in and I've absolutely lost control of Ireland, or, you know, the UK is, you know, I'm in Scotland and I've been ruined, or I don't really get this part of the continent, you know. And I just, I would have liked to see that. If we were being forced to pick a bigger list, that would have probably made it. But it hasn't got much love elsewhere, has it? I haven't seen it on any of the other big lists.
But that's because gamers in general are idiots. So, you know, what do they know? And then my last one might not be allowed in. We might be putting 4 guys in instead. I'm gonna put this out to the floor and you can let me know if it's allowed in. Persona 5 Royal, which is effectively a DLC.
Oh.
But it is a different... it does add extra story elements throughout the game and adds a whole 20-hour extra campaign at the end of the game. And it adds different game mechanics throughout the game. And I would argue, if we're letting Final Fantasy VII Remake on the list, Persona 5 Royal is different enough from Persona 5.
Well, that if you're adding the DLC in, then I'll make a deal with you, Kevin. I'll add the Crown Tundra and the...
That's not a DLC.
It's not DLC. Persona 5 Royal is not DLC. It was a standalone re-release game.
All right. Yeah, you can have that. That's fine. Yeah, it's a proper game. Like you say, it's different. I mean, Remake is a totally different game with the same story. Whereas...
This is basically the same game, but it's changed some of the mechanics around, so you have to do things differently. It's added new characters. It's added new campaign elements.
Why not?
It feels... It's added a new soundtrack, a new title screen, and it's beautiful. It's just beautiful, so it has to be on. Has to win. It's a beautiful thing. Sure. Right. Before we jump into, I think we'll do Anna's list next, but before we do, we're just going to jump over to have a brief word from our sponsors, because, you know, we've got bills to pay. Let's go and see what we're shilling this week. And we're back. Anna. What? Anna?
Yes?
Have you fallen asleep?
My voice wasn't working.
Of course. Have you got your five? Me and Anna had a discussion about this earlier, because she only wanted to do a three. Because there's only been three games worthy of Game of the Year this year, apparently, and I'm forcing her to make it a five.
The game I only enjoyed this year was Assassin's Creed Odyssey.
Doesn't count. That should have been on last year's list.
It wasn't even out last year. It was out the year before, but I enjoyed it immensely.
Okay, the year before's list then. It can't go on, or else we'd have to let Sheepdog have 3.7 hospital, or whatever it is that he wants. So, Anna, your top five, your five nominations for Game of the Year 2020. Ah.
I've lost my list.
Brilliant.
The Last of Us 2 wins.
Last of Us 2 wins. We're just not giving anyone... I mean, we could probably declare that already, but carry on.
Ghost of Tiramisu.
Okay. It can only go on if we say it properly so I can write it down. What is it?
Ghost of...
Okay, I can't write that down.
T-U-S-H-I-M-A, isn't it?
T-S-U-S-H-I-M-A.
It is. Why wouldn't it be T-S-U? Yeah, okay. Ghost of...
Tiramisu, Animal Crossing.
Okay.
Ori and the Will of the Wisps.
Ooh. Okay.
Do you know what? I've predicted your list so far. I knew Kev was putting Persona on, and I knew you were putting Ori on.
Oh.
And I knew Football Manager, obviously.
I'd say you predict mine.
Well... I know you're number one.
I know you'll love the game mechanic of whatever it is, Pab. And you've got a roguelike on there.
Shut up.
Anna, last
and
one.
And Astro's Playroom.
Oh, okay. Nice. Interesting.
What, the demo on PS5?
It's not a demo, it's a game.
It's the used case, isn't it? It's the...
See, this is on my shortlist, and I was going to ask the question, is this... packing classed as a full title.
I played it for 20 minutes and thought, there you go, I know how to use the controller now.
No, you need to play more of it. It's so good.
I don't. I'm not interested. It was really boring. It isn't.
What do you mean it's boring?
Well, you know how sometimes you do stuff and it's interesting? This was the opposite of that.
Oh, my God.
No, it is really good, Kevin. You don't know anything.
Yep. Thank you, Anna. Oh, my word.
So what's your five then? Pav?
Did Anna do her other two?
Yeah.
Yeah, she did five.
What did she say? Sorry, all right.
She said The Last of Us 2, Ghost of Tsushima, Animal Crossing, Ori and the Will of the Wisps, and Astro's Playroom.
Yeah, sorry. I forgot she said Ghost of Fukushima.
Right. So I've had a lot of dilemmas with this. Like,
Are you doing this on an aeroplane, Pab?
Why?
Because I think I can hear what's probably your fan every time you talk.
No, it's my creaky chair. My chair's creaking. I need to WD my chair.
Should we play Let's Guess Pab's Guesses?
So...
Well, we already know Astro's Playroom's on there, so we can have that one.
It's not going to get on.
You said it was!
No, that was on my shortlist. It's not on my actual list.
This is your shortlist. You can't have a shortlist for your shortlist. You mean it was on your long list, Pab?
Two, three, four. Right, I've got seven games. On the shortlist.
You're allowed seven games.
I know, exactly. That's what
I'm
saying.
You're allowed five.
That's what I'm saying. I've got seven games on the shortlist. I've got a trip
on your long
down.
List.
If two of them didn't come out this year, Pab, I swear to God.
No, I'm
not.
We're
going
to
start calling you Sheepdog. Sheep Pab.
No, I know what I'm doing. My dilemma is, do I put Last of Us 2 on my list, knowing for well it should be on this list, but it's already getting a bye with you lot all voting for it, so do I... tactically vote not to put it on my list.
If you do that, you'll never be allowed to go last again, you filthy cheat.
Yeah, none of us would have had the intelligence to do that.
Yeah, that's just tactical voting cheat. We won't let it win. It'll be disqualified from the entire event for match fixing.
Okay.
Come on, Last of Us and Animal Crossing. We all know
Animal Crossing is on my list. Ghost of Tsushima is on my list.
Okay. There's a top four emerging already, isn't there?
I will concede to Last of Us 2 being on the list, even though I don't think it should win. And my other one, Sheepdog, what's my other one?
What have you already said? Hang on, I've got...
Well, I hope you've got two more, Papyrus. We've got a problem.
I have got two more, yeah. Does have two.
What else have you played that was big?
You can't predict it, can he?
No, I can't predict you very well on there. I just knew Animal Crossing was your one.
So, my other one I've gone for, which is a lock, is Hades.
Yeah, okay.
Hades, I think, is very, very good game. And my other one is going to surprise some of you. And I've sat on the fence about it since we discussed that we were going to do this week. I'm going for Cyberpunk.
You're an idiot.
I
did wonder with that one.
For it because I love that game.
You've played it on a proper platform, haven't you?
The last time I played a game for that long.
I don't see the problem of it myself.
The last time I played a game.
Imagine us making it Game of the Year. I mean, I've enjoyed the 10 or 15 hours of it that I've played.
Yeah.
But we'd be laughing stocks if we even had this on the shortlist for Game of the Year. And on that basis, it can't be on.
Well, it can be on. It doesn't mean it's going to win.
Yeah, it's an opinion-based list, Kev. It can be on as long as it falls into this year.
Like, I'm 40 hours into that game now, and I've played it non-stop pretty much all this week since it's been out. And the last time I did that, it was Breath of the Wild. And the time before that, it was Witcher 3.
Have you had many crashes? I've seen, somebody who just kept having fatal crashes over and over again.
I'm playing on PC.
Yep.
I have changed the setting. I've used the Digital Foundry videos to tinker settings to get optimum settings for what I want. And I have had steady 60 frame rate all the way through the game and zero crashes.
Wow.
The crashing on PlayStation,
yes.
If anyone is still having the crashing issue on PlayStation, certainly on PS5, it only ever crashes in one scenario. And that one scenario is if you drive from one area to another, and as soon as you stop, try and get straight out of your car, it crashes then.
Yeah,
it's not loading the area up quickly enough. So the simple thing to do when you're driving from one area to the next, pull over, sit there for 10 seconds, and then get out of your car, and it won't crash. It's literally going from one area to the next, and I guess it's some kind of memory problem. It's not loading up the new areas quickly enough, so it's just crashing the game. So as long as once you get into the habit of not jumping straight out of your car,
it's
then
fine.
The crashes go away, and it's fine.
Interesting. You're leaving your seatbelt on.
Yeah, exactly. Just make sure. All you have to do is, make sure that you're collecting up your keys, disconnecting your phone, swapping your sunglasses back over with your regular glasses when you get out of the car. Stay in the car until the end of your song. Just sing along to the end of the song you're listening to, then get out. Reverse into your parking space. Anything you have to do to remember not to just get straight out of your car, and then the crashing's gone and you're fine.
There you go. I've had issues. I've had weird issues. I had issues where this week has been get into a vehicle or on a bike, and then the accelerate button is now the get off the vehicle button. So I can't ever accelerate or move anywhere in the vehicle, ever. Because every time I try and accelerate, I get off the bike again or whatever it is. So it rendered me now walking down desert streets trying to get to a fast travel point.
So you're only going downhill on your bike from now on.
Well, I couldn't go anywhere. I literally still had to run down. I was out in the sticks, out in the middle of nowhere, and I had to run to a fast travel point. And yeah, that was a fun one. But the second I got to a fast travel point and fast traveled, the second next time it loaded up, it was fine. I get funny bugs like that, and floating items and stuff like that occasionally. But other than that, absolutely nothing. It's been a dream to play, realistically, and it looks amazing on PC. So, I mean, just look forward to when it actually comes out.
I might take my PlayStation refund and get it again on PC.
I mean, it's the way to play it. It is the way to play it.
I just don't know if I'd want to do it all again. You know what I'm like with replaying stuff.
Yep.
I don't know if I can sit through that 10 hours again.
Ten hours is like just gone past the title card, so... You're not a million miles away.
I haven't got to the title card yet. I'm 10, 12 hours in and haven't got to the titles yet.
That's insane, because I think it's like, was it like 6 or 8 to the title card, I think, on average, I think. So you're doing a lot of other stuff.
I'm doing everything, Pab.
Okay, so I mean, if you...
I'm doing so much that matey in the flat below that you're supposed to keep checking on, I was so busy doing other stuff, I forgot about him and let him die. That's how much other stuff I'm doing. Because
no.
It took me so long to get back to him. I knocked on his door and the police were out there in tears going, he's dead, no one checked on him.
Oh no,
I forgot.
I'll tell you what, right? So,
it's because I've been doing all these taxi missions that you told me about. I've been off doing all them.
You've been doing the Delamain missions.
Yeah, beep, beep, mother. It's been brilliant.
Yeah, that is single-handedly the best storyline I've done in the game so far. It's so funny. So if you're doing that stuff, right, if you're going out your way doing that stuff, which for me is unheard of you, Kev, to be doing that stuff, I feel like you should... You deserve to have to play it the best way possible. And you don't have to do it all the second time round because... Yeah, a lot
then
of
it'll be affecting my ending and stuff, won't it? If you don't do all the side missions,
you don't get as much of them. But you don't have to... You know what you're doing.
You mean Barry might live?
Barry might live. But in fact, Barry did live in my scenario.
How much is it on PC? Because I'll get my £50 back if I get my PlayStation refund.
I mean, I paid £50 for it on that, but
I'm thinking if I can make £20 back and save Barry, it might be worth doing.
If you looked it up, breaking Barry.
No, Sheepdog. I met Barry once. I need to make a profit out of it for it to be worth the other hassle.
If you looked at your CD keys link, it is cheaper on there. So
is it?
Yes.
Excellent. That'll be in the description of this podcast, presumably.
Every week.
Good work, Fab. So. After our impromptu cyberpunk discussion, I've just been collating the nominations. We've got two obvious finalists because The Last of Us 2 and Animal Crossing are on every list. So unless anyone's now going to change their mind, I think those two are both firmly in the final four. The only other game to get more than one vote was The Ghost of Tsushima.
Tsushima, yes.
So...
That should be there, shouldn't it, really?
Are we happy to put that on?
Yeah, it looks amazing. I've just not played it. And I know I should play it.
The only problem with me and you just waving that one on, Sheepdog, is now we've only got one spot to argue about for everything else. Whereas if we can fight these two off and get rid of it, we have two spots available.
What are we losing again? Just so that I can double check that...
Everything else, this list now needs to narrow down to one spot. Final Fantasy VII Remake, Minecraft Dungeons, Fall Guys, Football Manager 21, Persona Kings 3, Persona 5 Royal... Sorry, Crusader Kings 3, Persona 5 Royal... Ori and the Will of the Wisps, Astro's Playroom, Hades, and Cyberpunk 2077. And it also means that Anna and Pab have both got three of their five on there already, if we put Ghost of Tsushima free.
It's because we're right, though.
We play the games.
I mean, we can probably, off the bat, say that Minecraft and... damn it, there was something else in my head. Ori, because only Anna's played it, and Football Manager, I'm afraid...
Hold on, Pab's played some Football Manager this year.
I have, but it wouldn't be a much.
You've also played some Crusader Kings.
I haven't played Crusader Kings.
That was the other one I was thinking of. Crusader, I don't know that. I just don't think that really will make. I know I'm surprised it hasn't been on any, but I don't know. Is it that worthy? Is it worth putting it in when it's just going to get dominated by the other three?
Well, we've got to have a fourth thing in there. And looking through the list, I think there's arguments. Let's assume Ghost of Tsushima is through.
Let's pencil it on.
What is the obvious fourth one?
Maybe we should put Cyberpunk in there as the spice option to see if people really like it more than the media would have us all think. Maybe it's fake news, Kevin.
I'll be honest with you.
Wake up, sheeple.
Anyone I've spoke to has played it, has loved it. Everybody I've seen in my chat, everyone I speak to on Discord who's played it. That's genuinely...
Are we really letting Pab have four of the four?
I'm going to be honest with you. I didn't expect anyone to say that. And I'm just sitting back here just thinking... I just wanted to put it on my list. It doesn't have to go in there at all.
The only reason I'm even entertaining it is I'm thinking he spent more time on that without problems than I probably have on... I mean, this sounds like really weak debating tactic, doesn't it? That I'm looking at my list and going, I don't think two of mine could stack up. And I know that no one's going to vote for Final Fantasy VII Remake, and it even, you know, it depends on the day of the week with me whether I bloody would. So
I know if I can force Football Manager on and then retweet it, we'll win. Come on!
No, that's why we don't put that on.
So yeah,
it deserves to win one year.
I know what you're saying.
And the thing is, it's been in development, Cyberpunk, for 7 years. So for the whole...
Is this an argument for or against putting it
on the list? No, for it. Because the fact that it's been in development all of them years, so all of this generation, and then...
And it still didn't work.
Well, no, it does work, but it works for the better consoles and
high-end
platforms. It just doesn't love the old stuff. As far as I'm aware, like, I've not put it in my PlayStation.
I mean, they had to put out an apology saying, we're sorry we deliberately didn't let you see it on the last gen before release because we knew it was broken. We wanted you to buy it first. Are we really rewarding that kind of really shady behaviour from them?
That's not corporate level, but you know what I mean? The people who made the game have made a very good game.
Yeah, I thought the whole point was they'd said this. We've really pushed for this to be on the next gen, and someone said you got to bring it out before Christmas on the old gen because no one's going to get that sale, and then they'll all buy new consoles at Christmas. And so it does feel like a very corporate level rather than a game level. It seems a bit, I don't know. You're right though; they shouldn't have done it.
Because the odd thing is, there isn't a PS5 version of it.
The one
we're playing on PS5 is the PS4 version.
Yeah.
It's not that it's a PS5 game that can't run on the PS4. It is a PS4 game that they deliberately didn't let anyone review, preview, show footage of before release because they didn't want anyone to see how broken it was on the console that it was made for.
It is a PC game at heart. CD Projekt own a PC distribution company. They focused. Yeah. I feel like that is their core market, and they just happen to put it on consoles. And I agree in many aspects. I agree that the marketing was bad.
It's a spice pick, isn't it? It's a spice pick.
You just want to get a bit of traction from the haters.
I just think Pab's thrown the cat amongst the pigeons, and I would be interested to see whether
this is the thing. You see, this is the thing, though, Kev. In what world has a game had you doing side quests like a crazy person? Ever?
Oh, I'm not disputing the fact it's probably second only to Last of Us this year.
Well, in terms of
the game when it works, but the issue is it's not finished, and what they've done is really, really dodgy and like almost anti-gaming, and I don't want to reward it.
No, you're right. I don't agree with the practices that they did to get it to where it is, but you can't punish the devs who made the game. The people who made this game have made a very good game. I feel like they're getting punished right now across the world because of the way it's been marketed and the way the higher ups have forced it out. I bet you 90% of them people in there are going, "Don't put it out. Don't put it out." And they were just like, "Too late, it's going out. Too late. We've pushed it back too many times. It's got to go out before the end of the year." And they're going, "Okay, then," just like with their hands over the face, going, "You shouldn't be going out." And what they have, like I say, however.
So let's flip it around then. Should it be on next year's list when it's finished? When it'll actually win?
It won't count, though, will it?
Because it won't win this year.
It won't.
I don't know. Do we make a decision now that we count it when it's finished? So if it's finished in February, we officially declare that it was released in February and allow it into next year's competition?
It didn't, though. It didn't get unreleased.
We make the rules, Pab. It's been unreleased on PlayStation.
It's not.
You can buy it on PlayStation now, Pab.
You can buy it on PlayStation now, a physical version.
You can.
A physical version, you can. You haven't taken it off shelves. They've only taken it off the PlayStation store.
Go buy it for your PS5 now, Pab.
I don't want to.
You can't. That's why. You don't have. You can't because you have a disc only. You have a no disc PlayStation.
Yeah,
you can't get it for your PlayStation.
I know where there's an actual disc PlayStation, so
does
I could play it
think,
on that one.
Sony taking it out of their store was a big red flag for not buying digital only consoles. I saw that and thought instantly, Kev and people like Kev who bought digital ones, that would annoy the heck out of me if they took my Game Boy.
Oh, they haven't taken the Game
Boy.
I've still got
access
it.
To the game,
I can
sorry.
Still
access to the game. I know you've still got it. Sorry, that wasn't clear on my part.
I don't know what you mean by access to it. It's
you can't download it.
It's
anymore,
there.
I mean, you
If you own it, you can download it. You can't buy it now.
That's
why
what I'm
would
saying.
You buy it when it's broken?
I wasn't very clear. And what I'm saying is, if you owned the console, and you thought I'm going to buy that next week when I get paid, and then they took it out the store, you'd be like, "What the
they
hell?"
They protected you from buying a broken mess. Mm.
Yeah.
So I think that's actually quite a good thing. I'd be more annoyed if I was a stupid kid who didn't know any better and walked into Argos tomorrow. And thought, oh, Cyberpunk, I remember the hype about this. I'll buy this for my PlayStation 4. I'm going to take it home and have loads of fun, and then it's just broken. I'd be more annoyed about that.
Yeah, I suppose.
It'll be back on PlayStation when it's ready to be released on PlayStation.
When the PlayStation 5 version's out, yeah.
If that's what it has to
that's
be.
That's what it'll be, which is at some point next year. Oh, no, to be fair, they did say there are patches going out next week for PlayStation.
But there was one out today, wasn't there?
There was one out today
as well.
There was one
out today,
so there are patches out next week for PlayStation. So potentially it could be back before Christmas anyway. Who knows?
And it mad, and this is potentially a dumb thing to say because I know why they're not putting as much attention on it. But it's weird how the new one comes out and the old gen's just been completely scrapped in terms of quality. Like unless it was made specifically for it and there isn't a newer version. You know, I didn't even mention Miles Morales in my list because I just didn't, you know, I thought it feels a bit like it's just an add-on to the last game. But getting the PS4 version of that, because I don't have a PS5, I was surprised to see how downgraded it kind of felt, despite being a sequel to a much better looking game. And the fact that this one's so far off being good enough because they couldn't make it, it seems odd that they couldn't have just made the assets slightly downgraded and everything for it and made it just work. It seems bizarre that, you know, from my reasonable knowledge of programming and creating things, it just seems like they've made it harder than it needs to be.
Well, PCs have been doing it for years, haven't they?
Exactly.
Can adjust the settings that you play it on PCs, and consoles perhaps need to introduce you should be able to play this at medium settings on your PS4. It seems like the PS4 is trying to run it on ultra.
I think it's just,
and it really should just tone it down a little bit.
It's the scale of the game as well. That's the thing. What it's doing that you're not seeing, that is what's causing the issues.
Working.
Yeah, exactly. It's doing a lot of stuff on a 7-year-old system.
Yeah, but that's the same on all of it, isn't it? So what, like Kev said, he's nailed the analogy that I was getting too wrapped up in what I was trying to say. I didn't think of that point. Just being able to adapt it to the PC settings is what the console should be able to do. The game should be designed. I mean, the fact they've had to design a game that can work on a PS5, a PS4, and a PC, it should have been able to just adapt to where it was based on the graphics. And I know it's fun.
I had this.
Go on.
I had this argument with someone in my comments about Football Manager, because Football Manager this year came out on Xbox on console, and I showed the Xbox version on PC and the Xbox version on console, and the only console I could show it on is the Xbox One S, because that's the only one we've got. And someone marched into the comments and was like, oh, why are you showing it on an Xbox One S? That's a really old console. Of course it's not going to work very well on the Xbox One S. Mm-hmm. Why don't you show it on a PC or something instead? And I just replied with, my PC is 4 years old. The Xbox One S is 4 years old. So it can, if it's a PC version, I don't know why Anna's now standing next to me. It's very confusing. Anna's gone upstairs. I don't know why she walked in here to tell us that. What was I saying? Yeah, it's the Xbox One S is the same age as my PC, and my PC can downgrade and adjust the settings. The Xbox One S chugs along and struggles with it because it's not downgrading and adjusting the settings appropriately.
Bear in mind,
it just seems
that your Xbox will be using older. I know listeners are going to be screaming it in their heads that your Xbox will be based on older kit than your PC, despite being released at the same time.
Yeah, but my point is, it's scaling it back.
Yeah.
Whereas on the consoles, it's trying to run a better version of it. And it's the same with Cyberpunk. It's trying to run it too high and too hard when it should just be, yeah, you should be able to scale it down to low and play it with polygons.
My dummy understanding was that they basically made one absolutely outstanding kind of peak version, and then that, and then almost like burned the medium version to console and the low version to last gen console, and that was how it kind of rolled. But that's obviously not what they do, because that would have worked. But this, the things people are getting on PS4 are utterly bizarre, and I don't understand how that of all issues is happening. In Miles Morales, which works completely fine, people just look a bit off. It looks a bit old. I'm kind of like, I would have expected better on the PS3 than I'm seeing in some of these scenes. Not all of the scenes either, because before the Thanksgiving scene that specifically stood out to me, I couldn't get over how amazing it looked. I was really impressed. And then that scene, I was like, oh, hang on a minute, it's gone a bit PS3 here. And it just made me question it. But actually, we'll point it out at the time. It's probably because they've not polished every part of it, because they focus on the latter bit. But like, yeah, back to our point, they should adapt. Maybe they will in future. Maybe there's just something fundamental about the console makeup that meant it couldn't do that. And I don't know.
Right, so it looks like we're going to have to add Cyberpunk to the list, which seems ridiculous. Has anyone got a really pressing argument for one of the games they've nominated that hasn't made it onto the list? Or are we just putting Cyberpunk on to stop Sheepdog arguing about it? Because Sheepdog just wants to watch the world burn. That, I feel like that's why it's going on the list. He's throwing his weight behind this because he wants to, yeah, what's a spice option? That's just you've been on the internet before. This is asking people to call us idiots,
yeah, it's
option.
Poke the bear option.
Well, no, it's one. Funny enough, callback to the start of the show. I heard the phrase spice option when someone was talking about setting up teams for a battle thing and throwing a spice option into the mix and all of this. It's just an unpredictable, unexpected thing that makes people go, what the hell do I do now? And I just thought it covers this one. People are going to look at that list and they're going to go, what the bloody hell are these morons doing? Gonna have to listen to this podcast to find out what the hell is going on. And there
or
we go.
I'll never listen to this podcast because they're idiots. So our four... And speak now or forever hold your peace if you don't want this as your four. The Last of Us 2, Animal Crossing, Ghost of Tsushima, and Cyberpunk 2077. Are we all happy with that as a four?
Sure.
Yes. What are we leaving out again? Of that.
You worry what we're leaving out. What we've got in is The Last of Us 2, Animal Crossing, Ghost of Tsushima, and Cyberpunk. Sheepdog, are you happy with that four?
Yeah.
Anna, are you happy with that four? Anna, are you there?
Yes.
There we go. Get closer to your microphone.
I can't. I'll be in it.
Yes, I'm happy with that.
Excellent. Kev, are you happy with that four? Not really, but I've been outvoted. So now we've got our four. That's what will be on Twitter. So you can go and vote in there for the unofficial game of the year. But now between the four of us, we need to decide what has actually won. Is there much discussion needed? Or are we all just saying, yeah, obviously it's The Last of Us 2? Right, Pab's not saying that. So tell us why it's not The Last of Us 2.
I fear you're right. But I feel like I had so much more fun with a game of Tsushima than I did that game. That game I will not play again. I will not play The Last of Us 2 again. Whereas I want to actively go back to Tsushima.
Yeah, but you're weird like that. Any game I've finished, I won't play again. That's no way to judge a game. That game's finished. I won't play it again.
You play FIFA every year.
I mean, because it's new every year.
Same thing.
If they bring out so you're saying if they bring out The Last of Us 3, you're not going to play it?
No, I'd play The Last of Us 3 because it's a different story. But what I'm saying is,
it's a different story. Depending on what I get in my opening packs, Pab, FIFA's a different story every year.
Like, you want to relive a game again. Sometimes you want to play it again. So people do. People do this, you know. It's not uncommon for people to want to play games again.
Yeah, people are weird. People watch films twice as well.
Yeah,
it's weird.
They do that as well. I don't think I could put myself through that game again. But I don't disagree with you. That's the thing. I don't disagree with you. It's just... Fine. Do what you want. I mean, I got four of my choices in this year. You can do what you want there. I don't really care.
Yeah, you don't care.
Out of your four, what did you expect to win, Pab?
I mean, I expected Last of Us to win, which is why I was considering tactically not voting for Last of Us, because I expected you lot would all put it in, so I just thought, well, I don't need to put it in. But
so
yeah,
Pab's fighting for Tsushima, Does anyone have anything particularly passionate to say about... I mean, we've spoken a lot about Cyberpunk and Ghost of Tsushima, and probably Last of Us. No one's really said much about Animal Crossing. It's there on the list. We've all nominated it.
It's a good point.
And why should we be voting for Animal Crossing, or should we not? Is it just there as to make up the numbers, even though we all put it on our shortlist?
Animal Crossing is amazing. And I mean, I probably put the most errors in it of everybody.
In the world.
Not in the world, far from in the world. But I mean... And
I've got three Animal Crossing t-shirts.
I might have a similar number. But yeah, I genuinely do love Animal Crossing. But the way I kind of, and same with you, I suppose, Kev, fell off a cliff with it, kind of like, it leaves me with a sour taste to it, sort of thing, in a sense of,
Part of me wonders if we fell off a cliff because of exactly when it came out. And if this had come out a year earlier, the content that was in there, would that have lasted 3 months rather than 3 weeks? And I do wonder if what made it such a thing that dominated media, I mean, it took over everything. It wasn't just gaming. This was the hot thing. It was the cultural thing for a little while. But the thing that allowed that to happen might also be the thing that meant we burnt through it super quickly because we were able to put so much time into it. Whereas on a normal week, on a normal month, I'm not sitting there for 8 hours a day playing Animal Crossing. I'm giving it 30 minutes a day. Yeah. And then it's lasting longer. And do we think of it differently if we play it that way? Did we all go a little bit too heavy too quickly into it?
I didn't go crazy like that. I didn't do 8 hours a day.
You streamed it every single day for hours.
Two hours at a time, though. 2 hours at a time a day isn't 8 hours a day.
You're missing Animal Crossing.
You kept going for like 2 months, and I was done in a few weeks.
Yeah, I extended it for about 3 to 4 months, pretty much.
Whereas traditionally an Animal Crossing game, certainly Animal Crossing games in the past, are very much you jump in for half hour at a time and you play it for a year.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. A volume of content-wise, we've probably got that volume of content out of it. I think I've got like 80 hours game time on this. It's it all happened in a month.
But yeah, yeah. Yeah. It's... I mean, I wouldn't disagree with this game being Game of the Year, but... it's hard to argue against Last of Us. This is the thing I'm struggling with. I hate the fact... I don't necessarily want Last of Us to win in the sense of I think it's a very good game, but it was an ordeal playing that game. It was it's an emotional roller coaster, that game. And I don't know. I genuinely don't know.
It is tradition at this point for us to put the final four to a vote. So we'll do it with our reverse weighting system that we always use. Put the four in order of which you think deserves to win. It's not necessarily the one that you think was the best game, not necessarily the one you enjoyed the most. It's the one that you think deserves most to win Game of the Year. You put first, and then you put them in order. We slap some weightings on there, add the numbers up. Okay. Bob's your uncle. We've got our top four in order. I am going to come to Sheepdog first because I think he's going to take longer to get there, so I want to mess him up. So your four are The Last of Us 2, Animal Crossing, Ghost of Tsushima, and Cyberpunk 2077. Now, you've only played two of them, haven't you? So you're going to have to base your thoughts on the other two on pure hype as you put them in order.
No, that's fine. I can do that.
It's how you do all your game reviews. For YouTube
videos.
That's how
I roll. In fact, funnily enough, I've written them out, and I think I've written them out in an order that I feel, for me personally, they would go. Now, I own Animal Crossing and I have played it, but I think when you lot were hyping it up because you were in lockdown, I was playing other things and I didn't. So when I've played it, I've only played it in bits and bobs here and there, and I feel like that's fine. I don't need to go and do jobs in it. I've got other jobs to do. But I voted it because I respect how much it took over the world. So I'm putting that as number four purely on the fact that it took over the world for a very long time. And you just can't... I kind of got it expecting to not really like it, and you can't help but like it. It is a good game. I would put Cyberpunk third because it does look really good, and I didn't want to get it. I didn't want to go near it because I was worried about being stung. I feel like I've avoided being stung because I don't have anything next gen. But it does look good, and I can respect, again, that someone like Pav has been able to put hours and hours into it, and it just looks like a great game. The other one was Ghost of Tsushima. I haven't played it, so I can't give that my number one. It does look like an awesome game, though. I did wish you'd mentioned it a week ago so I could have put it on my Christmas list, Pub, and I might see if my wife can still get me it in the next week. Is it on PS4? It is, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Cool. And there's no problems on PS4.
No.
That
no.
I can not
no.
I may add that to my Christmas list at last minute and see if my wife will buy it.
If you look, if you keep an eye out, Sheepdog, if you hold off late enough, I don't know when the Christmas sale goes on PSN, but that might be slashed online so you could get it digitally for a steal.
That's a good shout. So then, yeah, I mean, Last of Us, I absolutely loved. I smashed it. I played it to heck and really enjoyed it. It's the only time in a long time where I've foregone all the other things I normally do in the week to go and play that instead. And my wife loved it because she got loads of time to herself just watching telly downstairs while I played my game. And that doesn't happen often.
Your wife loved it because it got you out of my hair. Brilliant. What a reason to vote for it. Right, so, I'm going next because I have a point to make as part of mine and I want that out there before you two vote.
Okay.
I know I'm not going to influence you, but I feel like I have to try. Okay. So obviously I have to put Ghost of Tsushima as last because it's the one that I haven't played. And the honest reason for why I've not played it is because you two described it as like Assassin's Creed and that was enough to kill it for me. I mean, I'm not going to try it. I am going to put in third place Cyberpunk because as much as I love it, I am still upset that it's broken. I am going to base my top two on the name of the episode because it's called the game of the year, not the best game of the year. And on that basis, Last of Us 2 is second. Ooh. And Animal Crossing is the game of 2020. And there's no doubt in my mind that Animal Crossing is the game of 2020. So that goes in first place for me. And that is my four. Anna, do you want to go next with your four in reverse order?
What's the reverse order mean? I'm very sleepy.
Starting with lowest, going to highest.
Animal Crossing.
Okay.
Tiramisu.
Okay.
Cyberpunk and Last of Us.
Okie doke. And you, Pab.
That was a passionate speech there.
Okay.
I'm very sleepy.
Moved me.
I'm so sleepy.
Okay, so realistically, fourth place would have to go to Cyberpunk, probably.
You son of a... After everything you did to get that on the list, you absolute turd.
No, I'm going off of your logic, right? I'm taking Animal Crossing into consideration other than just my own.
All three of us have put it higher on the list than you, Cyberpunk. You are a monster.
Because...
Champ, cheap, Pab's just the puppet master, just pulling everybody's strings, messing with the voting.
You know, Pab always pulls strings.
You know, I'm picking
have you never noticed how much of a string
again,
puller he is?
It's odd, isn't it? I'm last picking.
I love
again.
It. That's why I enjoy Pab. He just...
That's why his Twitter profile is his name and then a load of numbers after it. He's a Russian bot just fiddling with every election.
I would have to go Cyberpunk. Also because of the fact that the other three games I've more or less 100%ed. I've played...
Well, then you have to put them in order, Pat.
So, Cyberpunk is fourth. The next one I would go is... Ghost of Tsushima, probably.
Okay.
And then... Now, you've thrown that spanner in the works, Kev, of what do I... For me, it's got to be Animal Crossing next, and then Last of Us has got to be number one. I hate saying it,
okay. But
I feel like that is the right way to go.
I'm just adding them up. Someone do some poetry or something.
I was
going to
say, Pab,
we know The Last of Us has won.
If you'd have... you weren't streaming when Last of Us came out, were you? Or I've lost track
Me?
Of when things happened. Did you stream Last
I
of Us?
I streamed pretty much all of Last of Us, yeah.
Was that before Animal Crossing?
It was after Animal Crossing.
That.
It was in the summer.
Okay.
God. The Sheepdog's hot take on 2020.
I can't remember any of it.
Weird.
It's been a very... Well, yeah, but I can't put any months in order.
It's not been like a usual year, has it, this one? No, Sheepdog, it hasn't. Well done. Right, I've done my adding up. Second to fourth is close. But we have officially in fourth place with 7 points on our voting system. Ghost of Tsushima in fourth place.
Wow.
Third place with 8 points is Cyberpunk 2077.
Pab.
Second place with 9 points is Animal Crossing. And then first, and officially, the MGP Game of the Year 2020 with 15 points. Oof. And The Last of Us 2. It was a masterpiece. It is the game of 2020. Now, of course, boys and girls who are listening, you have the chance to have your say in the unofficial, unless you agree with us, it doesn't count vote, which is on Twitter now, which you can find at MGUK Podcast. You can also follow each of us individually in these places. I'm at Lelujo.
I'm at RB6K.
And Pab's forgotten that Anna can't say hers anymore.
Pab 1986 on Twitter and Twitch. Yes, I did.
Hooray! Are we all happy with the winner? I think we all knew an hour ago going in it was going to be The Last of Us, didn't we?
We did.
Probably.
Did anyone suspect they weren't going to win? It was
could have gone either way then, but yeah.
The poor old homophobes losing out again. All this proves is it doesn't pay to be a meathead homophobe. When will you learn? See you next week for the Zeitgeist, boys and girls.
Have a good week.
Goodbye.
Thanks for listening, folks.